Thank you, choir, for that wonderful special, and Mary Margaret for that special on that piano. Good to hear that. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's why she's going back there to her seat. Yeah. Not your watch, your eye. And your eye, and your watch, yeah. Hey, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, first of all, to Psalms chapter 33. And then our main text is going to be Exodus chapter 17. As I was studying for the message today, this is a partially Memorial Day versus a scripture related to our everyday life in which we deal with, right? Every day we deal with many situations, circumstances in our life. And in Exodus 17, we're going to see how Israel dealt with many obstacles in their life, but how they were able to overcome, how our nation has been able to overcome through generations of traumas and trials and wars within our world. And the psalmist David has something to say about a nation that will be blessed. And in Psalms 33, verse 12, it says, "What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people has chosen as his inheritance." Let me read that one again. I like that verse. It talks about a blessed nation, and I believe that we are a blessed nation. Amen? We are a blessed nation. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people has been chosen as his inheritance. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 17, beginning with verse 8, I'll read through 16. Exodus 17, beginning with verse 8. Now, Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God." He didn't say my staff, did he? You see that? He says with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until sunset. Oh, that was a long journey, wasn't it, to hold your hands up. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, this is important. Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek under the heaven." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." Now, there's another term used in Hebrew language for this, which means the Lord is my banner, and it is Jehovah Nissi, and which means the Lord is my banner. So when the Israelites saw that and heard that, they knew it was the banner of the Lord. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generations to generations. And we know there's been wars from generation to generation, don't we? But the banner of the Lord prevails. In 1943, there's a man named Joe, let's see, if I haven't forgot his name. Joe Rosenthal. He is the one that snapped the picture of the five Marines at Iwo Jima. Remember that? When you're looking at that picture, you don't see all five. Actually, in my readings, I've done an intensive reading and studying about this. Actually, it says they were six. And one of those was a Navy officer. But there were five Marines. It was in the heat of the battle. And those five Marines and that Navy officer took the American flag and they stuck it in the ground, and as they were raising it is when Joe Rosenthal snapped that picture. That has been one of the most unique pictures that's ever been taken by any photographer in the world. I mean, it was posted in newspapers and magazines for months and months and months after it was snapped. Who would have thought that that one picture would make so unique of a stance for our nation? Nations all over the world understand that America is a powerful nation. Through all the wars and devastation that the United States has been through, you know, that Star Spangled Banner, you know, flyers going up, that the flag is still there. So what is it about the flag? It's just material, right? It's got stars and stripes and stars on it. And we see a pledge to allegiance every ball game. The Star Spangled Banner is always played normally at ball games and so forth. Now, when we think about the flag itself, is there any power in it itself? It's just a piece of material with stars and stripes. But you know what it is? It's a symbol. It's a symbol of the freedom that Americans have fought for all of these years. It's hope. And it's freedom from any dictatorship within the world. When I read the text of Exodus 17, you know, Israel was going against a force. If you read the first part of that chapter, beginning with Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, the Israelites were out and they were hungry. They were thirsty, and God gave them manna. It's bread. And then God told Moses, you strike the rock and you will have water. Out came water. And now God is preparing them for the a battle that would really challenge them from the outside. Now, when we think of that, okay, they needed water. They needed bread. That was an internal situation in their lives. Now, they're going to be facing something external. They're going to be facing the Amalekites. And Moses tells Joshua, you know, you pick some men, elite men, and take them out to battle. You see, in our lives, you know, God prepares us. And he was telling Joshua, okay, you're going to battle. You're going to go out and fight against the Amalekites. In our lives today, in the battles we've had, there's always got to be preparation, right? In everything, our military, they prepare. They prepare the elite for fighting. And you see, the Amalekites were warriors. They were good at what they did. See, the Hebrews, they've been in Egypt how many years? Practically all their life. All they knew was just eating and building bricks and just different things like that. They were not a people of warriors where they went out and they fought. But the Amalekites, they had armory. They had camels. They had it all. They knew how to win a battle. And you see, when you think about the Amalekites, they are the generation of Esau. Whether you think about that or not, because, you know, Isaac and Jacob, see, Esau was supposed to, what, get the heir from Isaac. But Jacob got that instead. And Jacob stands for the Hebrew nation. So we see these two nations have been battling it out for generations. You see what Scripture said? There will be battle after generation. So Moses tells Aaron and Hur, you go up to the mountain with me, and there we're gonna kind of oversee the battle. You see, in a battle, in a war, the commander, usually he's at a high place in a area where there's going to be fighting, so that everybody can keep their eyes on him, so that if he raises his hands, they know the command. If he lowers them, then they're waiting for the next command. Moses is going up on the mountain, up on the hill, and Aaron and Hur is going with him. And he's going to stand up there, and he said, I'm going to take my staff. Now, did I say there was power in the flag itself? Is there power in that staff itself? Moses had his staff, but he called it the staff of God. And he went up there, and the Bible says, as Joshua and the Hebrew nation went out to battle, that when Moses raised his hands, Israel prevailed. When his arms came down, the Amalekites prevailed. You see the difference? Was it in the staff itself? No. See, the power of God was working through Moses, the leader. Linda and Robert were going to be missionaries to out in the West, out there in Mexico. They had been preparing. They were married, and they were preparing to be missionaries to in Mexico. And they've been set aside everything else in their life. Everything they've set aside as they trained to be missionaries. So the day had come for them to go to Mexico to be missionaries in that area. And on their drive from Nevada to Mexico, Linda sloped over. She wasn't responsive. She wasn't talking or doing anything. And Robert pulls over and sees that something is wrong with her. And so he takes her directly to the nearest hospital, and they checked her out, and she had had a massive stroke. Very young. Did she see that coming? Did they see that coming? See, they were blindsided by that. You see, the Hebrews were blindsided by the Amalekites because, see, they were on their way to a great nation, to a place where God was going to provide for them. But yet, on the way, they ran into some obstacle. You see, the Amalekites were renegades. They fed off of other people. They had power. And see, what did the Hebrews have other than what they had gotten from Egypt and was carrying with them? But you see, God was with them. And that's why Moses says that God is my banner. The banner of the Lord will be with us. Well, going back to Robert and Linda, as they were traveling and as Robert sat there in the hospital beside Linda's, he began to pray. He began to pray, God, you know, I don't know what's going on. I wasn't expecting this. We were going to be missionaries and so forth to Mexico. But I don't understand this. So he calls his friends and his family and say, pray for Linda. Pray for God to intervene in this situation. We see when we think about things in life, when we think about we're going along in life and everything is wonderful. You're having a time of your life. Everything is just wonderful in your life. And then all of a sudden, you get blindsided. And that's what happened to Linda and Robert. You see, we have the internal, we have external circumstances and situations that will just happen just like that. It catches us off guard. But do we give up? Do we say, Lord, you know, what am I going to do now? Well, Linda was in the hospital for some time because the stroke had really immobilized her brain to the point that she was not able to function or think or speak or do anything. But you see, Robert continued to pray, and as people and friends began to pray, things began to change. And looking at Amalekites and going up against Israel, Moses was telling Joshua, you know, you go out to the battle. You go out and face them. And you see, here was a nation striving to do the will of God. And God was on their side. And Moses said, you know, I know you're going out. And I know there's going to be casualties. There's going to be wounded out there. There's going to be people that will not come back. But you see, every day in our life, as we go out, as we do things in this world, as we live our life, things are going to happen, aren't they? Things are going to take place in our life that we have no control of. But you see, instead of throwing up our hands, you know, and say, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, did you see in verse 10, verse 11, 12 that Moses prayed? No, he didn't. He didn't do that, did he? He didn't pray. Now, you would have thought that something as important as this, that Moses would have been praying, right? Well, I'm sure when they was up on that hill, upon that mountain, and looking down upon the battle, that Aaron and Hur and Moses was probably praying. The Bible doesn't mention that. I was just reading into the text, you know. But you see, the power of the Lord prevailed. And see, in our lives, in our nation, going all the way back to the very beginning of the foundations of this world, men and women gathered and they prayed. You know, they had it tough. How would you like to live back in those days? And we call those the good old days, right? Today is the good old days, right? Today is the good days in which we live. You know, I got enough of that when I was small, thinking this is the good old days because, you know, I haven't, you know, back then we didn't have anything being raised up. And we thought we had everything because we was eat, we could have, we had a roof on our head. We went to church and we was involved in the community. You know, we was a close knit community. Everybody supported one another. You could call your neighbor and they'd be right over there, help you do whatever you need to do, farming and so forth. You don't see as much of that today. But you see, a long way in our lives, there are things that happen that blindsides us. And you know, the United States have been blindsided so many different ways, and other nations as well. But I truly believe the scripture says, those who keep their eyes on God will be blessed. And you see, you have leaders like Moses and Joshua who was true and they were faithful to God. And that's why Moses was able to say, the banner of the Lord is with me. The banner of the Lord is with us today. Because as Christians, as we come together and as we pray, and as we are faithful, you know, there's going to be tragedy along the way. There has been in this nation from the very beginning. But you see, God has a plan and a purpose for this great nation. And as long as we keep our eyes up on the hill, looking towards God, into the heavens, where God is seated, and Jesus at his right hand, interceding for us. You know, I can just imagine that Jesus intercedes for us as Christians every day, and he intercedes for nations like the United States and those who truly want to follow him and do his will. Now, I'm not saying that we as a nation are doing all the things right. We have a long ways to improve. But as long as we as a nation, as a people, as Christians continue to pray, God, you will prevail. You see, we've won the victory through Christ Jesus because of our sins. And as a nation, we can win the victory when we continue to keep the Lord as our God and we trust him. And as long as Moses' hands were upstretched, the battle was being won. When Moses' hands come down, the Amalekites prevailed. So was it in Moses' hands, upraised and so forth? Not at all. See, Moses was a symbol of what God was wanting to do through a great nation. And you see, Moses was human just like we are. We get loaded down under circumstances and situations and trials in our life. And we get weighted down and we get weak. We get tired. And because of the support of one another, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you see, we can stand strong. And Aaron and Hur was on one side and one on the other. And they got a rock so he could sit down. But they stood on both sides and kept his hands raised. You see the power in that, the support. You see, that's how we are as Christians. We pray for our nation. We pray for one another. We pray for those in need. And see, God will honor that. Blessed is the Lord our God, whose nation is under God. In God we trust. I'm so glad we still got that on our license plate. In God we trust. I pray that that never is ever removed from any of our coins or license plates and things that stands or a symbol of a great nation under the power of God. Linda and Robert, there in the hospital, as Robert saw improvement with Linda, it came to the point that Linda was going to be released. She still had a long ways to go. She was released from the hospital. And Robert put her on the plane to fly her back to Nevada. And he himself was going to drive back. But it is stated that they both, as she was on the plane looking and going down the runway, she was looking out the window. As Robert was driving away, looking out the window, they were thinking, you know, God prevailed. The Lord is my banner. And that was what he prayed as he sat there by the bedside of Linda. Using that scripture, the banner of the Lord is mine. The banner of the Lord is mine. The banner of the Lord is mine. That was his prayer as he sat there with Linda. You know, I can imagine through the wars and so forth through our nations, our great leaders and commanders and so forth, how our nation was founded as they prayed in the heat of battles. I can just imagine them praying, the banner of the Lord is mine. So it doesn't matter what we go through in life, in our situation, in our jobs, in our families, and so forth. You know, there's going to be those internal things that we deal with and external. The external things for the Hebrews was the Amalekites. But you see, God said, I will be with you. I will lead my people. And Moses got frustrated at times, didn't he? He was really frustrated, and he would often say, God, your people are out of control. And sometimes we can look at our nation and say, our nation is out of control. God help us. And you know what? If we will be a praying people for a nation under God, then it doesn't matter what comes our way, what blindsides us, we will prevail. And as Christians, you know, we should be mindful even more that if we're going to be a strong people, a strong church, strong Christians, then we need to say, Lord, you are the banner of my life. See, scriptures are given to us for us to understand that how to live our life. And then as we're living our life and circumstances and things hits us right in square in the face, you know. See, God told Moses to send Joshua out there knowing, you know, God could have said, okay, Moses, Joshua, just stand back. Just stand back and I will take care of the Amalekites. You don't have to do nothing. But that's not how God works, is it? You know, he has placed us here to endure, to look to him for guidance. And no matter what takes place in our lives, you know, in the battle, in the things of life that we deal with face on, he's gonna allow things to happen. But you see, we're not doing it on our own strength. You see, we are doing it on the strength of God. So, when we think about everything that we are faced with today, as a nation, as a people, as Christians, may we always be reminded, and this is a good example, the banner of the Lord is mine. See, the power doesn't come through just things like the flag and the staff, but it's a symbol of what God will do if we are submitted totally to Him. As a nation, as a people, as Christians, if we are submitted, committed, surrendered to Him, we will prevail in life. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for the Scriptures that gives us the picture of life. And Lord, it's the best way as I could with the power of Your Holy Spirit this morning to share this message. Lord, it spoke to me, and I pray that it has spoken to each one here. Your Scriptures are examples. They're a witness, a cloud of witnesses that's been before us in the Bible, in our nation, that have prevailed through many storms of life. And Lord, we thank You this morning that You are with us, that You provide for us, You teach us, and Lord, You meet all of our needs. And I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You personally as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day they'll walk down the aisle and give their heart and life to You. Anyone looking for a church home, Lord, we just pray that You will guide them in that decision. If we're struggling with decisions in our life, where it's job-related or family or work, whatever it might be, Lord, let us understand that You will prevail. We might not know that everything's going to work out the way we want it to, or that we can comprehend, but Lord, You will make us stronger. You will help us understand that nothing will happen outside of Your will, that You always have us in Your best interest as a nation, as Christians, as a people of God. Lord, we pray that this invitation be one that will open our eyes, realizing it's Your invitation for us to take a stand for You. We praise You and we thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.